honestly, I'm not shocked that you and I are reacting this way, because the entire time I was reading this book, I was like, Melody and I are not going to be okay when we're recording. I was like, this is going to be a giggly episode.
Uh-huh.
It's also going to be a blushy episode. It's going to be a funny face episode.
Everything's fluttering. Okay, everything's fluttering.
I have goosebumps, Melody.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm Melody Carlisle.
And I'm Sabrina Bradley.
And this is Heaving Bosoms. This is the podcast where best friends recap romance novels and other kissing media that makes us swoon, snark, and refills our cups.
Whether you've read the book or are coming in blind, we'll lay bare every delicious scene and revel in the tropes and subgenres that make romance amazing.
All right, listener, strap in and strap on. Headphones are highly recommended.
Sabrina, are you a hockey now?
I mean,
have you turned into a hockey?
I mean, it's not turned in. It's been happening for a couple of years.
You know
that I subscribe to ESPN Plus so that I can watch hockey, right?
I actually did not know this about you.
Okay.
And I can't believe the amount of layers I still have to peel back on the Sabrina onion.
Well, so I didn't realize. Apparently, nobody knows. Apparently, this has been my dirty little secret. I was on the phone with one of my best friends on Wednesday, driving back from dropping another one of my best friends off at the airport. Mm-hmm. And I was driving home, and I don't remember how it came up. I think I was telling them about a hockey game. I finally saw my first live hockey game for one of my friend's birthdays. And I was on the
phone.
That's
why I asked you if you're a hockey now.
I mean, but that's the thing, is I've been a hockey. Like, so I was talking to one of my best friends, and he was like, wait, you watch hockey? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you like hockey? And I was like, yeah, quite a bit. And he was like, is this new? And I was like, no, I've been watching hockey for like 4 years. I found hockey because of romance, right? Like, I started reading hockey romance.
I feel like Serena Bowen is really...
It was. Serena Bowen is what got me in.
Yeah.
And apparently nobody knows that I really fucking love the actual game hockey.
I had no idea. Okay, this makes so much more sense because I wasn't sure. I've actually actively thought about this a couple of times, Sabrina. So apparently...
Me and my love of hockey?
No, it was very important to me when you said, I get to see my first hockey game live. And I was like... And when you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, sure. But then when I started noodling on it more, I was like, live? I mean, I'm sure she's seen games, you know, on TV or whatever. We've all been to a sports bar or what. But I did not know.
You think that they play hockey at sports bars in the South, like the deep South of the United States? No,
I'm so sorry. No.
I've never seen hockey at a sports bar. No.
Anyway, I'm so sorry, listener. Apparently, Sabrina has been a hockey. And now she has come into her physical hockiness. So would you like to tell listener how it went?
It's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. I went to see the, like, and they're not, like, I'm not saying they're a bad team, but, like, they're a brand new team, right? And,
He was into it.
The ADHD, it gave me some good brain zoomies, right?
Ooh.
Well, because, like, hockey never stopped. There's always something happening. There's no, there's the occasional timeout.
But they are few and far between, and they are short.
It is just, it's got the pucky puck and the wacky whack. Yeah. Although I will say, it made me really sad. I don't know who the enforcers are on the teams that I watched, but, like, there was a fight. on the ice. And it just made me think about all of the books that I've read where the enforcers are like, but I don't
the sweetest like sweetie to pies. Fight.
Yeah. I don't want to fight anymore.
I just do this because I have to. I just do it because that's the way it's always been done.
The fight started and me and my friend both feel that way. And so we just like looked at each other and we were just like sad face. And everybody else is like, yeah, kill them. And like, I'm just like, oh, poor babies. Maybe they don't want to fight anymore.
Maybe they're being coerced by all of you screaming fans. Okay.
Well, it boggled my mind. Apparently, some people watch hockey for the fighting. And I'm like, it's not that common.
Right, right, right.
Like,
yeah. I mean, it probably happens, what, once a game?
It varies. Also, if you want to watch something for a fight, go watch like MMA or something.
Watch wrestling. Yeah, MMA. Yeah. I'm really glad that your live hockey dreams came true.
Bro, so I have officially decided that I will never again in my life live farther than an hour from a hockey.
Ooh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Preferably in the same city.
Yeah. Well, maybe if it's hockey season and you come up here, I can get us into a Rangers game.
Don't even play with my heart right now, Melody.
I would never.
I would never. I would die of joy.
Can I tell you something that might make you want to punch me in the face?
What?
The only time I've seen a hockey game live was when my friend Tanya, friend of the pod Tanya, was an executive assistant at a bank, and she invited me to their box seats.
What?
It was the best. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm still terrible with names. I just watch the game. I don't have any.
No, totally.
Half the time, I have no idea who's playing. I'm just watching.
Just hockey. Watching hockeys. All right, well, cool. Okay, listen, we're not here to do a hockey, and none of these characters are even remotely interested in a hockey.
Boy, now you've got the ADHD brain zoomies on hockey. Like, I don't know why you thought that this was good banter for. Hockey,
I was genuinely interested, and when we talked, and when we had a friend chat a couple of days ago, I forgot to ask you, so I figured, like, may as well make it banters. But now you can think, fucky.
Wow, listener, if you want an erotic romance, the book we're about to go over is a hot one.
If you want a soft, safe, like, we'll wrap you up in just a blanket and make you feel so good. You should read this book, man. We're reading Just for the Cameras, and it is a menage. It is an MF or MMF menage.
With a previously existing couple coming in.
Yeah.
It's like beautiful.
And a mutual best friend.
Before we do this, though, we do have Patreon listeners.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Sabrina. Okay, we've got some new patrons and some existing patrons to shout out. So, hey, thanks for supporting us. Seriously, thank you for wanting more of our antics. Thank you for joining us on our silly ride. And I hope you are loving the content. So, welcome to Kate H. and Brittany R.
To Katie K. and Megan Aflame.
Oh, my God. Sabrina, oh, my God. It is Megan Aflame. I was going to say Madonna Flame.
Oh, no. What did you think?
Madonna Flame.
I mean,
why am I like this?
We don't know. It could be Madonna Flame.
Oh, fuck.
That never even crossed my mind.
Sophia W. and Books and Cats.
Peyton W. and Letitia S.
Kathleen D. D. and Sarah G.
Jessica S. and Gabby M.
And finally, Damien and Sarah C.
Well, thank you kindly. And
yeah,
like Mel said, hopefully you're enjoying our just bonker, like the extra bonker stuff that we have.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Patreon.
This week, I think they're not only getting a bonus episode, but they're also getting the video of our super fun hang with Victoria Aveline. So that's really exciting. She's cool as shit.
Oh, my God. She was very excited.
Yeah. We had so much fun with her. It was the best.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have to talk about this MMF extravaganza.
Just for the Cameras by Viana Onyemo.
Wow.
I fucking loved this book.
Yeah, same.
It got recommended. So it wasn't a Patreon pick. And I was looking for something to pad the reading list. And we didn't have a single contemporary. And so I was like, oh, I'll look for a contemporary. And then Mariana actually recommended this book and was like, you need to read this. And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds pretty fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, listener, if you like positivity for bodies and sex work and identities.
Boundaries.
And
support.
Just pause now. Go read the book.
Yeah.
And
there's like a tricky dad in there and there's like an oblivious mom and stuff. But for the most part, I can't really think of many triggers that I would share with people, you know?
I guess like it would be all parental, right? It's like getting kicked out of the family. Like,
yeah, for being a sex worker. Yeah. It's mostly it mostly revolves around either tricky stuff in childhood or informing your parents that you are a sex worker. So, okay, listen. We've got Kian, we've got Jordan, and Luca.
I love the name Luca.
Ah, same. Jordan and Kian are in a relationship.
We come in swinging, y'all.
Boy, they're filming when we come in. It's incredible.
No, they're not filming.
Oh, no, they're not. You're right. They're notably not filming.
Kian is behind Jordan on their couch with his...
They're undercovers.
...dick in her.
Yes.
And he's diddling. And in her ear...
Yeah, tell him about that.
He's like, oh, yeah, you wish that Luca could see you right now. And he's basically dirty talking about their best friend because they both realize, like, this is skipping a little bit, but, like, they're doing it because they have both realized recently that they want Luca, their best friend, in more than a platonic way. And so now, occasionally...
They independently are in love with Luca. Independently and together.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, this is the friends to lovers you did not know you needed, listener.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Like, I don't know, honestly, if I have ever read a book that starts with a couple that I have not previously read the book where that couple gets together. Because I've read a lot of those where, like, the first book is the couple getting together. And then there's a later book in the series where there's another addition to that relationship.
Oh, I know a book. You ready for this? Gifting Me to His Best Friend by the one and only Katie Robert.
I have not read that.
It's so good. Highly recommend.
Okay.
And it's a couple who, you know, then interesting.
It was just really nice meeting. I do really like that. This author, we got to know Kian and Jordan separately as characters. Yeah.
And they have their own separate moments with Luca in the book, which I really appreciated.
Boy.
I needed it. I didn't know that I needed it, but I did. I wanted it. Yikes. Wow,
all right,
everyone.
So anyway, Kian is dirty talking into Jordan's ear about Luca, and then, oh,
you
no.
want Luca to see what a dirty little slut you are,
don't
you? Oh, my
God.
You?
The freaking...
Okay.
Praise, like, degrading praise
was
on point in this book.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was reading when I was reading this book, partially, my friend was in town, and so, like, they would have a TV show on, and they'd be, like, playing a game on their computer, and I had to get some reading done.
Yeah.
I take voice notes. And so I was like, is it going to bother you if I do that? And they're like, no, it'll be fine. And I didn't even think twice about the fact that, like, half of these voice notes are going to be. And then he really slowly pulled his cock out and spanked her a little bit and said some dirty things about their best friend. And then every time I did this, my friend would look over at me and be like,
what you reading over
interesting
there, champ? Yeah. Okay. Oh, notably also, or like important to me and not really the story, which I really liked. Both Kian and Jordan are fat. They're both plus size. They're both, like, I love the descriptions of them because Luca is, like, incredibly turned on by their stretch marks. And they, he talks about, like, their big bellies and their thick thighs,
like,
the dimples. Like, it's so like, hot.
It's beautiful. Truly a celebration of bodies.
Like, yes. Yeah. It made me so happy. Anyway, they talk about how they had to get a custom couch so that both Kian and Jordan could comfortably fit on the couch at the same time. Like, I just loved it. It was so well done.
And specifically the couch so that it could handle the raucous fucking for recording.
Yeah. Oh, because they have an OnlyFans together, essentially.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's called like For Your Fans, but it really doesn't matter. It's an OnlyFans. Yeah.
And they met, like, they were sex workers separately, and they decided to film a scene together, and they just, like, fell in love while having sex. It was, like, an immediate and instinctive, like, make-love situation, and then right afterwards, Kian just asked Jordan to be his girlfriend, and she was like, yeah, sure. And then they, like, moved in with their best friend or something, or maybe they moved in with him and he became their best friend. I'm not clear on that.
I'm not either.
Not super clear on it.
No idea how they became friends. No idea how they started living together, and you know what? It's fine.
I didn't need it. Herbs.
Yeah.
So now they're in the middle of this thing talking about Luca walking in and how much they want that to happen. Luca is on a shoot because he's a professional photographer, but then they hear some key jingling at the door and they like go totally still. They hear the door open. They hear a person take off their shoes and then in walks their best friend, Luca. He's like, oh, my shoot got canceled. Like, blah, blah, blah. What are you guys watching? He sits down on the recliner, and then a little while later, like a couple of minutes later, he's like, wait a second, what are y'all doing over there? And they're like, well, I have no idea what you could possibly be talking about.
And they say, we were talking. And he was like,
chatting,
talking, huh? Interesting.
And so he's like, I'm gonna leave you to it. And he goes to his room and he masturbates furiously.
Yeah, he goes in and starts fucking, he takes his hand to pound down. Like, well, and they end up finishing on the couch because there's no way he's coming back out. So they finish on the couch and then they get up and go into their bedroom and do it up against the door all over again.
Yeah, because they're so turned on by the idea of Luca being in the house and knowing that they were having sex. And like, what is he doing in there and stuff? And so Luca is like, we spend the first, I don't know, what would you say, third of the book with everybody doing a giant mutual pining.
Yes.
And none of them realizing, none of them giving each other enough signals to act on it.
Yes.
Luca's like, they don't think about me like that. Like, they super do. And both Kian and Jordan are like, he's never indicated that, you know, he's into this. So I don't really know.
So Luca, to give some backstory on Luca.
Oh, yeah.
Luca is demisexual. He got literally left at the altar by his ex. And he is a little bit of a broken sad boy.
He's a Sebastian.
He's a little bit of a Sebastian.
Yeah.
And obviously it was catnip to both Mel and I.
He's got the most parental problems out of the bunch.
Okay? Oh, my God.
He got left at that altar.
He's just so sad.
He doesn't know if he can ever trust anybody ever again.
And he believes that everyone who's ever loved him will leave him.
Leave him. It's the natural progression of things.
Obviously. He totally has PTSD. It's fine.
No, we laugh, but also, you know.
Hey, me too, bud. I also have it's fine, Luca. I love you.
Yep.
So he is terrified because we get his point of view and we find out that he is also in love with his best friends.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to bring his baggage into their perfect relationship. He's like, I am just too much of a broken sad boy. Ooh. And I just can't.
Well, not to mention that they have been his emotional rock previous to, but then definitely after he got left at that altar. Mm-hmm. They know about all of his parental stuff, and they very sweetly and carefully guide him through it throughout the book. Like, these three are so, so, so close. And so the other part of this is like, I can't change my friend's relationship into a romantic relationship because that's when they will leave me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I love them too much. I want them to stay in my life.
Yes. So it's the morning after, and Luca and Jordan are in the kitchen, and Jordan does a little blushy blush, and Luca's like, "Oh, I've never made her blush before like that." Uh-huh. But like,
But I'm into it.
I'm into it. And then he did flirt with them a little bit last night, and he is like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that I fucking did that."
But he can't help it because he flirts with them now too. Like, he can't help himself.
But he also apologizes for it, and it's like, they're like, "No, no, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. You're okay.
No, we are perfectly great with that."
And then Kian and Jordan are like, "Hey, we've never done voyeurism on our channel."
Well, because they're talking about the channel being a little bit stale, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're like, "There's a couple of things we haven't done, and one of them is voyeurism."
And Luca's like, "Well, what if we do a recreation of the other night, except this time I won't leave."
Oh, he says?
And they're like, "Merp."
Yeah, they're immediately like, okay, if you're not joking, you're not joking." And he's like, "I'm definitely not joking. I think it would be super hot. But if you're not comfortable with it, no pressure." Mm-hmm. And they're like, "No, no, no. I mean, we could definitely be comfortable with it. Let's just like figure out how that would work."
Mm-hmm.
So they end up filming that scene.
Yeah, they do. I would also like to say, though, we find out that Luca has three beautiful black and white portraits he took of him and them on his bedroom wall.
Like, what? How does nobody know how that they want to sex each other? Where are the mixed signals here? You know, like, where are they?
And it's never brought up again. It just gets mentioned the one time. And I'm just like, y'all.
Well, because they're like nude. They're like tastefully, suggestively nude. Yeah. There's no like nipples or anything, but you know, there are things are draped in places and other things are exposed and they're hot and they're bothered and it's a lot.
I just
that
like,
I enjoyed.
Luca, no wonder you've fallen in love with your best friend. You have to acknowledge how beautiful they are every night before you
constantly
go to bed.
Huh? Where else are you gonna look when you wank? I ask you,
right?
Luca. Where else could you possibly look?
Like, no shit, you're gonna be horny for your besties. Oh my
You've
god.
You've been sending yourself not subliminal messages for months now.
He's Pavloved himself into being horny for his best friends. But any hoodles, they end up deciding that talking about it and they're like, okay, let's fucking do it. But
they're gonna stay as like close to the actual what happened as possible, except that the angles they're filming at, they're only filming from Luca's like waist up. No, waist down. So his face isn't showing. None of that is showing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just him sitting in the chair, which means that once they start and once they get going and once that he's in the room and sits down and does his play acting about not knowing, he can be, according to the cameras, looking at the TV, but he can be head turned, just staring into Jordan's eyes while she gets slowly sexed by Kian.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're just making eye contact the whole time. And both Jordan and Kian are like trying to be quiet still.
Looks Jordan dead in the face and mouths good girl at her.
Listen,
How dare everyone.
Also, I would like to say the dirty talk in this book is top notch. Get ready for this.
Yes, please.
There we go, Kian growled, like her loss of control was what he'd been waiting for. Needy little slut. Her stomach quivered. Come on, then. Let me feel you strum that hungry little clit.
Yeah.
Sir! I would need you to put the mouth away. Or when he says, should I be jealous? The mere thought of our flatmate is making my pussy, because let's be clear, we both know who this pussy belongs to. This fucking soaked. That is just scratching the surface, listener.
I mean, that is a light read. Okay, so then after both Kian and Jordan quietly come, because it's supposed to be all a secret, Luca looks over at them and he says, you can cut this part, right? And they're like, yeah, we can cut anything you want. And so he turns his chair toward them and he tells Kian to sit up and put Jordan on his lap, both facing the same direction, and to spread her thighs as wide as they go so that he can see our girl come. And then he starts touching himself in that chair. And
also,
this is the first time that his best friends find out he has a Prince Albert piercing. His best friends didn't know until right now.
Like, confession time, it's been a while since I've been so flustered by a book. Like, usually when I read a book, just the raunchiest shit. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, let's motoring fucking go. Through it. Something about this book, I was like, like every other page.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was beautiful. And then, so he ends up coming.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes again, and like, it's just horny town.
It's great.
And then he goes over and he cleans them with the, like, he like wipes them clean with the blanket and takes care of them.
He squats in front of them and he's like, let me do that. And he takes that blanket and he, like, you know, gets all of Kian's release off of her, out of her, ? And then he very, like, carefully wipes off Kian's, like, half flaccid dick. And, like, it is, that may have been the most intimate part of this scene for me, Melody.
Yeah.
It's like, same. Okay. I'm actually not sure about this in real life, but, like, I'm with it here. Everybody loves it. Great. And then they're just like, let's clean up. Do you want to be in on the editing? And he's like, yeah, I definitely want to be there for the editing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just go to their separate rooms.
But Luca does have a moment where he's like, I wonder if I can get away with a good night kiss. Just a little maybe on their cheeks, just a little peck on the cheek. Maybe. Okay, good night. And then he just fucking jets.
Yes.
That is Luca's specialty, to be clear, is he gets a little bit emotionally uncomfortable or uncertain. And then he
road runners out of there. It's a puff of smoke there, and that's all that's left.
Gotta go.
Yeah, beep beep.
So then immediately afterwards, Luca gets a text message from his piece of shit dad.
Oh God.
Yeah, and apparently his dad is dying and wants to see him one last time. And Luca's like, fuck.
But yeah, doesn't he respond.
So he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And then Kian and Jordan are back out on the couch. They're going to watch TV and, like, they're, like, snacking or whatever.
Do you know what a puff puff is?
I have no idea what that is.
I haven't Googled it, but I want a puff puff. Okay, so listener.
What's a UK puff puff? What's that?
Mm-hmm. And is it a UK thing or they're Nigerian? Is it a Nigerian thing?
Is it a Nigerian thing? Yeah. Yeah.
Because all three of them are Nigerian. Their parents are immigrant. Like all three of them, their parents are either immigrants or are still in Nigeria.
Yeah. So, wow, everyone. So they're doing puff puffs over there. And Luca comes out and he just walks up to them and he just pops his butt right in the middle of them on the couch. And he has his upper body on Kian's lap and his lower body on Jordan's lap. And they're like, do you want to talk about it? And he's like, I don't really know what to do. And they're like, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy hard. No. Like, I feel like you don't want to. And he's like, yeah, but will I regret it? And they're like, make your own choices, but I feel like no. You know, like you you've put boundaries up with your dad and he's stomped all over them and stomped all over your heart and disappeared several times.
Well, like, he's already cut his dad out of his life.
Right.
Because his dad has been like using him his entire adult life.
Yeah.
For money and like emotional manipulation. And it's fucked up.
He doesn't need that in his life. And Kian and Jordan know that.
Yeah, especially when, and Luca knows it too, when Jordan's left hand dropped lightly onto Luca's knee and Luca felt like his entire world was breaking apart and coming back and together coming back again together in the best again. Way, just because both his best friends were simply touching him.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Also, in his chest, the Lust Hulk demon thing seemed to have slowly morphed into a lust love yearning thing until he felt like it would crush him underneath its sheer desperate weight. Because he's cuddling with his besties, who he's in love with.
I'm so sorry, everyone. I felt very called out reading that.
Which one?
Both of them.
Same.
Concurrently.
Same.
Consecutively, I mean, not concurrently.
Why do you think that I highlighted them?
No, I know. The Lust Hulk demon thing
turns into a lust love yearning thing. It's fine. And it's so heavy. It's such a heavy little thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It is quite. Or so I've heard.
Gay listener, this whole fucking book, like, honestly, I'm not shocked that you and I are reacting this way, because the entire time I was reading this book, I was like, Melody and I are not going to be okay when we're recording.
We're not.
I was like, this is going to be a giggly episode.
Uh-huh.
It's also going to be a blushy episode. It's going to be a funny face episode.
Everything's fluttering. Okay, everything's fluttering.
I have goosebumps, Melody.
This is what I'm saying. Yes. So now they go to bed. There's like room BJs and stuff that happened. They get really good response from the video from their fans.
Well, hang on.
Okay.
Real quickly.
Sure.
They edit it together. And then
everyone is
crazy horny after it. And so Kian takes Jordan into their bedroom after hoping Luca would say something and stay. But then he goes down on her like an absolute champion.
Against the wall? Against the door?
Something like that. And he ends up fucking her with a giant dildo, saying things like, you wish this was Luca and his big old pierced dick.
Yep. It's like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Luca's in his room, furiously masturbating again.
Uh-huh.
Looking at those goddamn portraits of his best friends, just covered in sheets and nothing else. Okay.
After he just watched them orgasm under a blankie while he was in the room?
Yeah, because they cut it at both of them quietly coming on the couch for their OnlyFans. But, like, the three of them watched the whole rest of it together.
In silence, watching. So it's like a couple of days later and she's finishing up editing and she's so turned on that she ends up touching herself. And then Kian gets home and he grabs a pillow and is like, kneel.
Right.
And sits down on the chair to finish watching her edits.
And
then she gives him a really hot blowjob. And then he immediately messages the video to Luca for final approval.
That's the one. Yep.
And Luca texts Kian back and says, can I also get the unedited version? To be clear, I will be coming to this.
He can say that to them, but not like, hey, do you want to do this not just for the camera?
And this is when Kian and Jordan actually acknowledge and admit to each other out loud. Like, they both know that they have feelings for Luca that go beyond the platonic realm. But they haven't said the words out loud to each other.
Well, and it also struck me as they've acknowledged they both have sexual attraction to Luca. Mm-hmm. But this is also the first time that they talk about it being love. They're both in love with Luca.
Yeah.
And that is, that's like a whole other threshold. Mm-hmm. So they get a really good response and they tell Luca about that. Luca has been very slyly under a different email address, you know, watching the comments himself, but they don't know that.
He's been stalking it.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want from him? He's just a person, you know, he's just a person in the world. What else is he to do?
Honestly, he has more willpower than I do. Because this is the only video he's ever watched. He's never watched any of their videos, even when he realized that he was into that. And I'm like, you know how fast my hand would be? That's probably invasive, but you're putting it up there. I'll pay for the content.
Sure, I'm paying for it like a, you know, like everybody else.
Uh-huh. I just happen to share a wall with you.
Right. It's fine. It's fine. I remember the day you wore that outfit. Nobody cares.
Oh, my
really
God.
Cool.
I haven't even thought about that. Holy shit. Can you imagine? Because, like, you know he remember. He's like, oh, my God. They immediately went and did this super horny thing.
Mm-hmm.
When they...
So Jordan wears different colored wigs throughout the book. And, like, you know that Luca would go through their videos and be like, I remember when she had that lavender wig.
Okay. Not only, though. Does she have different colored wigs? Kian dyes his hair.
To match.
To match her wig.
And like, not to spoil anything, listener, as if that's not what we do here, but later on in the book, Luca will also dye his hair.
Yeah! Okay, listener,
and I loved every moment of it.
This book is so fluffy.
Yes.
Like.
Yes. In, like, the best, still really, like, emotionally satisfying way.
Yes, and I think that that's why I get so flustery. Like, the raunchiest smut, that's fine, straight face. But, like, all of the fluffy, and I'm just, like, a mess, you know?
Absolutely. This, I had a similar reading experience with this as I did with Rafe by Rebecca Weatherspoon. You know, like, dirty as fuck. But just also wholesome and fluffy and caring and gorgeous and everyday life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, I think another thing is that this book, everything about this book is so believable, you know?
Yes.
Like, there's not a single thing about this book that's like, I'm going to have to suspend disbelief.
No.
For this to happen.
Totally. So they tell him that it's gotten this, like, really, really great response from their subscribers. And he's like, well, I mean, do they want a follow-up? Oh, also notably, listener, they played it on the video as if Luca didn't know it was happening. But in the description of the video, they did tell everyone that Luca was in on it and he did consent to be part of the scene and part of everything else.
Which they would know if they could have seen him mouth good girl.
I mean,
Jordan, like an asshole.
Yikes. Yeah. And so he's like, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about like maybe doing something again slash similar slash, you know, more though?
Well, Luca's the one who brings it up.
That's what I said.
Oh,
I mean, that's
okay.
What I meant. Sorry, listener. To be clear, that was Luca. Yeah. To who said that.
So this time they're redoing the scene and he on camera, this is for the people. He is like,
no, they cut this out.
Second time? In the second
they
video,
they cut out the stuff Luca does.
Oh, well, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Carry on.
So Luca is like, take off the blanket.
Yeah.
And take off your shirt.
Right.
And he's like ordering them around. and all of those things. And it was just really hot. And then.
Yeah.
And then
he's like, you're going to cut here, right? And they're like, sure, man. And so then he gets up.
Walks over, and then just comes all over them.
He stands in front of them as they're still on the couch, and he just gives them pearl necklaces like none other.
And he just comes all over her pussy.
And all, yes, I forgot about that.
I did not.
I'm so glad.
And then Luca and Kian almost kiss.
Yes, they have like this moment where they almost kiss. And then Luca is the one who, of course, who breaks the spell and Roadrunner's out of there.
Yeah, of course he does. He's got to go. Beep, beep,
puff of smoke.
He's got to go. This is too intimate. Oh my gosh.
And like, while that's happening, they're like very much encouraging him. He, you know, like, I just want to make it clear that it's not just him going over and being like, spew. Like he stands in front of them and they're like, oh my God, that's so hot. Yes, keep going.
You just made me choke on my mint. Oh my God. Luca is too much of a sweet angel to non-consensually come all over them, you know?
No, totally. But even when he knows they consented and encouraged, they know they consented and encouraged, he still wants to apologize and does apologize for, like, entering the scene, like, inserting himself in the scene. Mm-hmm. And they're both like, ah, we're not sorry about that at all. And then some dirty subscriber, some Sabrina out there, okay, watches that video. Yeah. Sabrina, you're the one who emailed StoryGraph to see if you could have editing rights to the graphs they make according to your tags. So you would absolutely comment and be like, it seems like this ended a bit abruptly. What if like it ended with Kian telling Luca to like come in her pussy? Oh my God.
Right.
The look on Sabrina's face right now. She's outraged, but she knows she can't be. She's trying so hard.
Been so called out.
Maligned.
I can't even say that this is slander, which is the worst part. How dare you air my dirty, dirty laundry that everybody already knows about?
Yeah. Sabrina, a line has been crossed and I have to take responsibility. I'm so sorry.
How dare you? How could you? But you want to know a line that hasn't been crossed? Luca refuses to watch this next video. He can't watch. He doesn't bring himself to watch. He's like, no, I don't need to be anything a part of the editing or anything like that.
Come on, Luca. You're just torturing yourself, Luca. Okay, don't be a martyr.
Well, get ready, Melody and listener.
No.
Because he refuses. I just spit my mint out. I'm too excited. I have no idea where that went. Huh, interesting. Well, if I find,
gonna
ants
find it at some point.
I don't think I'm going to find it. I think that the ants are going to find it, which is going to suck. But, you know.
I dropped some of the chocolate shell on my bonbon, so that I'm going to have to go searching. I'm going to go spelunking in my booth for that later.
Uh-huh. That's fine. Yeah. Oh, God, and it's dark.
Don't worry. She'll sniff it out. It's fine. I'm basically a truffle pig.
Who's she?
Me!
Why are you talking about yourself in third person?
I don't know. Don't the cool kids do that sometimes?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Why would you ask me what the cool kids do? I have not been cool a freaking second in my life.
Sabrina, you're the one who knew about a Stanley Thermos, okay?
But I don't have a Stanley Thermos.
Right, but you know about it.
I have a $20 emotional support water bottle. And oh, shit, that's open. Well, that was live on camera. Oh, I found the mint. It is on my boob. We're running on all cylinders today, Melody.
We gotta pull it together is what we gotta do.
Do we? Do we?
We were buckling up for something Luca was gonna
Luca,
do.
Luca, he refuses to watch. And then, so he is like horned up and refuses to do anything about it. So then they all go out dancing with their best friends. And then we have the most longing, horny dance session at the nightclub.
They're grinding with Luca in between them.
And
okay.
Kian, that hottie with a body, is wearing a blazer with nothing underneath it. And
oh my
Jordan
God.
Is wearing a matching dress.
But it's like a crop top situation, isn't it? Aren't there cutouts?
Something? I don't know. There's a lot of skin.
I could have fanficked it.
Maybe there were slits. I don't know. Ooh, all I know is that they were...
There were definitely
grinding
slits.
Like crazy on the dance floor. And like so horny. And then...
And Luca had to escape. He went to the bathroom at one point, and then he was going to go and, like, you know, sit down at the table again. But then he took one look at them on that dance floor and he and Kian made eye contact, and so he was just magnetized toward them. And he went back over to them, and he ended up sandwiched right in between his best friends again.
Of course he did.
I mean,
sir. And then he goes home, and he can't fucking stop himself. He watches that new video and comes all over the place, and they cut out the part where he came on them, but it was still super hot. And then, because he has no self-control anymore, he decides that he needs to watch other videos. So he goes and watches their very first video together ever.
They're falling in love sex. He watches them fall in love on camera. I mean, and
sir,
like, he can see it. It's palpable, you know? Oh, my God. Okay, now what happens, Sabrina?
They decide that they're doing this for the last time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this time,
Luca, they do it in the bedroom.
Yeah. Luca walks in and knock on their bedroom door while they're going to town. And he walks into their bedroom because they throw a blankie over themselves. And they're like, oh, come in. We're not doing anything.
There's no penetration over here.
I just am sitting on Luca's big fat cock under a blanket.
No, Kian's.
Oh, yeah. Kian's big fat cock. Not Luca's yet. Because guess what, listener?
But holy fuck balls.
Luca was supposed to come in and then come all over her.
Yeah.
You see, after Kian came inside of her,
that's
because
the one.
To be clear, she has, I don't remember if she's had a hysterectomy or had her tubes removed or
tied,
something like that, but she can't get pregnant, so like, we're breeding all up in this puppy.
Yeah, and oh boy.
And Luca was supposed to come all over her pussy after Kian came inside of her, but instead,
Kian's like, do it, don't you want it, Jordan? And she's like, I do, I want it, fuck me, oh my God, fuck me. So they put, and he's like, are you sure? Like, and she's like, yes. She's begging him. And so he puts a condom on, and then he and Jordan have penetrative sex while Kian is like holding her
underneath
up for
him. And then afterwards?
Yeah, tell them.
Luca and Kian kiss over Jordan's shoulder. And they do a smooch, and then he pulls away, and he gets a smooch from Jordan, and then there's some more smooching back and forth between the three of them.
Yeah.
And then he road runners.
And then he beep beeps right out of there.
He's like, gotta go.
He's like, I can't handle my life. The best thing that's ever happened to me just happened.
So he is now alone in his bedroom having a fucking panic attack.
Meltdown.
And then, my God, Luca just can't catch a break. And then his mom calls, his mother.
Ugh.
And she, like, we're not going to get into all of the details, but like,
she sucks.
He just can't catch a break with his family.
Right.
He gets like, he has some great sex with his besties. And then his parents called, be like, hey, you ready to get fucked mentally?
Yeah,
too?
Absolutely.
You ready? So then Jordan, like a cutie, come and knocks on his door.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to come watch anime with me and Kian?
And he's expecting it to be a couch session. Okay. No, she leads him right back into their bedroom. And that's one of the ways that they would comfort him after his altar abandonment. They would like put him in the middle and they would all lay on Kian and Jordan's bed to watch anime on a laptop and like snack and hang out and just, you know, veg. And so he's like, oh my God, okay. This is like kind of familiar, but it's also like, we just had sex. Like, what am I doing here? And then he falls asleep.
Uh-huh.
And then he hears them start talking, but they think he's still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, we should just stay here, right?
Don't wake him up.
Yeah. He's like, oh, they're going to wake me up and tell me to go. And it's going to be like mortifying. Like, should I just do it myself? And they're both like, okay, well, let's snuggle up and not make sure Luca stays asleep in here and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, okay, this is the best thing ever. But also I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. And then they snuggle up, and then he roadrunners in the morning.
Yeah.
When he wakes up. And then
he can't get out of there fast enough.
Kian and Jordan have a little conversation about leaving the little door open.
Yes.
And not
the relationship
Luca.
Door.
Yeah. And see if maybe he wants to make his little way in.
Yeah.
You know?
But like in the most casual way possible, you know, mm-hmm. being like, it's totally up to you, friend, and it won't have any impact on our friendship if you say no.
And Jordan, that little cutie, is like, I don't know how to do this. And Kian is like, leave it to me, babe.
Kian is such a dreamboat. He is such a communication dreamboat. I aspire and I will fail for my whole life to be a Kian.
A rock.
Yes. Yes.
Like, he is absolutely the rock. The little chaos gremlin that Jordan is grounded by.
Yeah, and then, I mean, in Luca
as well. Yeah, his little just anxiety balloon. Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Just flapping out there in the wind all alone.
Just flapping.
Just poor guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. So then Jordan, we did not mention this. Jordan got asked to be a part of like a magazine, like interviewed and be on the cover for a magazine.
As like a black queer sex worker.
Yes. That
a black queer femme sex worker.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Jordan has the cutest dimple piercings. This was just very important to me.
Yeah, as it should be. Yes, she has dimple piercings, everyone. And you know her smile was already like 5,000
beautiful.
Watt.
Oh, golly.
Is that a measurement? 5,000
sure.
watts?
Sure. 100 That of sounds them? Like a lot.
60 of them? It's like a million watts, okay? And then she added some stud
sparkly little
dimple piercings to them.
Huh.
How? Listen, Jordan.
Save some for the rest of us.
We're just trying to exist in the world. You know what I mean? Like, what are we to do in the face of all of this hot, cute wonder? What are we to do? I ask you.
Worship.
Anyway, so she's like, hey, Kian, I know you would normally want to support me because you know that I have like, you know, kind of a hard time doing stuff like this on my own, but I really want to do this one on my own. And it's the same weekend as your family's barbecue. Oh, this is what Luca overhears. He's like, well, yeah, you know, it's fine. I'll just go to the barbecue without you. And she's like, well, why don't you ask Luca to go with you? And he's like, oh, what a great idea. And Luca is just laying there being like, this is, are all my dreams coming true? Like, I'm not sure. So he says, yes, obviously. And they spend the whole train ride, their respective train rides, FaceTiming each other.
Mm-hmm.
The two boys and Jordan are still FaceTiming each other on that train in separate directions. And then Kian takes him to his family, who knows that he is a sex worker. But they also take a lot of pride in his 9-to-5, like, graphic architecture
interior
job or
designer.
Something. Interior design. That's the one. And so, meanwhile, he's been getting his soul sucked out more and more by that job every day. And so he's been thinking about quitting, but he really doesn't want to disappoint his family.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time they're meeting Luca, even though they've heard about him for years.
Also, quite possibly most importantly, they find out.
Yeah.
There's only one bed.
There is only one bed. Yeah. And mom's like, do you mind that? And the boys are like, no, we'll make it work. Totally fine.
Fine.
It's a hardship, but we're going to deal with it. You know. Anyway, he is totally charming at the barbecue. Kian's family loves him. He loves them. It's all like gorgeous. And he has this conversation at the sink doing dishes with his mom where she's like, so you and Jordan, did you like break up or whatever? And he's like, no, Jordan and I are really, really solid. She's like, okay, well, it sort of felt like, you know, you've been interacting with Luca as if you're dating. And he's like, well, we're not. But then he pauses and he's like, but what if we were? And she was like, wait, like, you were like all three together? He was like, yeah, what about that? And she's like, well, I mean, I guess I don't understand it at all, but I would love you and support you and welcome them. And, you know, we would figure it out. It would be great. And so he's feeling a lot better about that now.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea
still,
of like,
he still can't tell her that he wants to quit his job.
No, for sure
just
not.
So proud of him. And he's like, I hate this so much.
Yeah. Yeah, he feels like they only tolerate the sex work because they can crow about this other job.
Mm-hmm.
So they, listen, people have to sleep, okay? And these boys have got to get to bed. It's time for that. It's evening now. And it's time for them to go to that one bed.
So Kian, firstly, admits that he wants to quit his job to Luca. It's the first time he said it out loud. Luca's like, I love and support you, and that sounds like a good idea whenever you're ready.
Right.
And then Kian says to Luca, we've been thinking about maybe opening our relationship. There was a ringing sound in Luca's ears. He swallowed to wet his suddenly dry throat. Oh, he croaked. We found we're both really attracted to the same person right now. Someone close to us. Someone we care about very deeply. And we thought, maybe, if it was all right with that person, we could try out something casual just to see how the three of us fit. Luca was going to pass out.
Uh-huh.
Was this real life? It took him several tries to find the words. And that person is he knew. Of course he knew, but he just desperately needed to hear it to know without room for miscommunication.
Yeah.
Kian was breathing hard. It's you, Luca. We want you.
And Luca's like, whoa.
Yeah. And Luca's like, yes, definitely. And then they look each other in the eyes and they're about to kiss. And they're both like, we need to fill in Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So they FaceTime her and they tell her that they're all dating now. And she's like over the moon about it. When she sees them all snuggled up in bed together,
boys.
She's like, I love this. I love the way you two look all cozy together. And they're like, yeah, it's because we're all dating now. And she's like, really? And she's so excited. She's like, I can't wait to see you tomorrow, but I'm going to let you go. And they tell her that she can edge herself, but she's not allowed to come until they see them again. Till tomorrow.
What?
That's too much to ask of a person. I'm going to say it here on the podcast. It's too much to ask of a person. I would probably
cheat. That's a hot take.
And lie. I would try and I would fail. And then I would get punished. Like, that's how it would go.
Are you a bad liar?
I am.
I would never be able to keep that to myself.
I'm a comically bad liar. I can't do it.
Big same.
Can't
so,
do it.
Guess what, friends? It's on, TM.
It is so. It's so on.
It was
too hot. I kind of didn't super know what to do with myself reading this scene, because they go from like they're making it's like the first time they've ever actually made out. Mm-hmm. And then Kian's like, I've been thinking about your dick since I've seen it.
Or when one of them, I don't remember who says it, but one of them says, you look gorgeous like this. You feel like a fucking dream, like you were fucking made for me, made to take this dick.
That is Luca saying
right,
it to Kian.
Because he's penetrating Kian.
Yeah. And Kian is just celebrating that piercing in a way that every prostate would enjoy.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Please tell me everything.
Did you think that they were being uncomfortably loud in his childhood?
Yes, absolutely.
I was like, there's no way. Your family does not have an idea that you are boning down right now. You are being so loud.
Everyone in that house woke up while they were mid-bone, okay?
They literally in the middle of the night go to wash the sheets after the fact.
And like, I mean, unless everybody has been like ambient into oblivion, they all know. Everybody knows. Wow.
That was like the entire scene. I was like, there is no way.
That's the chief reason I didn't know what to do with myself, because I was just like cringing so hard with secondhand embarrassment, being like, oh my God, what? How? Oh no. Yeah. Do they know?
They have to know.
But you get caught up in the moment sometimes. You don't know how loud you're being.
Oh, you mean do they know, Kian and Luca?
Yes.
I thought you were talking about the family, and I was like, oh, fuck, of course the family knows.
No, Kian and Luca are basically roosters right now, okay? And the whole family is hearing that cock-a-doodle-do.
They are absolutely doodle-doing some cock. Like,
yes. Yeah. Wowza. So anyway, they're together now.
One thing of note, Luca makes Kian come without touching his dick.
Oh, yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Kian's like, I don't know if I can. And Luca's like, all right, let's try. And boy, howdy.
Impressive.
That piercing does great things. Mm-hmm. So then they have to go back and they meet Jordan for lunch. And they take lunch back to their apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jordan asks Luca, she wanted to kiss him at the train station, but she specifically didn't want to scandalize any old white ladies by kissing both of her boyfriends. And
right.
So they get back to the house and she's like, Luca, I really want to kiss you. And Luca's like, okay.
Uh-huh.
And then Luca, because he's Luca, is feeling uncertain.
Boy, does he
and emotionally vulnerable.
Roadrunners
for 5 fucking days.
He's like, I have so many clients all of a sudden. It's like 5 a day.
He normally doesn't accept bookings less than 48 hours in advance, but like right now, people are calling day of. He's like, let's fucking go.
Did your dog have puppies? I can take pictures of it. You know, like anything.
So then, though, when he gets home at the end of those 5 days, his dad is standing outside the door.
I had a very visceral reaction to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was proud of this fictional character. And also, I don't know, like impressed with the way he reacted.
I would not have reacted that way. Being confronted with the situation?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
I would have caved.
Don't think...
I know myself well enough to know that I would have caved. I would have been like, okay, come in for tea.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know.
Luca doesn't do that. He sees his dad and he's like, absolutely not. And then leaves. He's like, I'm not doing this.
And he's like, how did he find out where I lived? Because I specifically have never given him my address. And he figures out it's because his mom overstepped and decided that she knew better than him and told the dad his address so that he could ambush him.
Mm-hmm.
So Luca calls Jordan and he's like, are you around? And she's like, yes, I'm at our favorite takeout place. And yeah, I can meet you. So he goes and he talks to her about it. And then they go back up to the apartment. Thank goodness the dad's not there anymore.
Yes.
She's like, you did the right thing. That's fucked. Mm-hmm. And then tell them what happens next.
Melody's like, I don't know where I'm going from here.
No, like, I know, but I don't want to mess up
the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before any of this, we do a little bit of this is happening at the exact same time. Jordan texts her mom and is like, I'm going to be honest with my mom about the magazine because of this incredible opportunity and hope that she's proud. And her mom is like, I don't understand it, but I support you.
And she figures out that her mom has finally left her very close-minded and abusive dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so she feels comfortable with like having an out loud and proud relationship with her daughter again, instead of having to sort of like skirt around and do it in secret.
Yeah. And the reason I even wanted to bring it up, because we haven't talked about her relationship with her family or anything like that, but I was just really proud of Jordan. And
Absolutely. One
of the quotes was, after doing the interview alone, she had shown herself that she could still stand on her own, but she liked it a lot better when her friends stood by her, too. She could brave her fears with them and still come out standing on the other side. And because Jordan was really skittish when she and Kian first got together. And just knowing that she...
Well, and I think one of the reasons I loved this so much is because we see Jordan and Kian be like, trust your instincts. And then when Jordan tries to process it with Kian and Luca about whether or not she's going to tell her mom, and because Jordan got kicked out of her house because she was outed as a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, she told him it was just like a one-time thing and, you know, it's not happening anymore and whatever. And so she's been considering whether or not to tell just her mom about
it. The truth.
Yeah, the whole truth and, you know, where everything stands. And both Luca and Kian are both like, babe, I think maybe no. You know, you're in a really good place and you're able to talk to her pretty frequently. And I don't know that you want to take that risk. And it just shows how, like, safe and caring they are in the relationship that we watch one example of them supporting each other and taking each other's advice. And then an example of one of them going completely against the advice of her two partners. Well, and them, you know, supporting her anyway.
It ended up working out. Like, and I just want to read one of the paragraphs of her mom's response because it was really touching. Your cousins have made me realize you don't need my approval or understanding. You just need my support. You needed my support at a time you were most vulnerable and I didn't give it to you. I made you believe our relationship was contingent on my wants and expectations for you. And for that, I'm sorry, Jordan. You're a grown woman. You're being safe, I assume, and you're making choices for yourself that make you happy. And I was like, good mama.
Wow. Wow.
Like, it's so true. You don't have to understand. You just have to support.
Yeah. You don't have to understand. You don't have to condone even. You just have to support.
Yeah.
And then. So that's where they're at. And that's when she gets the call. And they're in the apartment now together alone by themselves.
And it's on TM.
It's on.
Like, so much emphasis on how sexy she is with her beautiful fat body.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, it was so hot.
So good.
He ends up making her come just from nipple play.
Yeah.
And then immediately starts going down on her like a champ.
Yes.
And then they have some really hot sex and she comes all over his cock.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great summary of what happened.
Yeah.
And then Kian comes home.
Well, okay. That's fine.
No. Tell the listener what you were going to say. No.
Well, now I'm...
I didn't mean to cut you off.
I don't know if I can say this out loud.
Something that is making Sabrina question whether or not she can read a sex passage out loud.
This is embarrassing. Oh my god. So he pulled out, then thrust back in again a little faster this time. Fuck, Luca. She tried to shift her hips, shying away from his next deep thrust. He grabbed her hip in his right hand to force her to stay still. Don't pretend you can't take it. Don't act like you didn't just admit you've missed this dick. You want to feel it, yeah? Then feel it.
Oh, bye.
And then at one point he says, come on, he rasped. Come on, Jordan. Come for me. I can feel how badly you want to. How much this pussy wants to reward me. Fucking give it to me, darling. Let me feel that pretty pussy squirt all over my dick.
The dirty talk is primo. You know,
out of this world. Okay.
Top shelf stuff.
That's not even all of it. That's like,
no,
barely scratching the surface.
No. And I am and blushing.
Ma'am, it just came out of my mouth.
I know.
And then Luca, for the first time, does it Roadrunner.
Yeah.
She goes to take a shower. When she comes back out, he's just in his briefs and scrolling on his phone, and he's like, okay, I'll be back in a little bit. I'm gonna go shower too.
It's
and
great.
They're snuggling on the couch then when Kian gets home, because Kian, that badass, quit his job.
Goodbye. So now Luca's in this place where he keeps on sort of, you know, he keeps on panicking. And, like, they've got a birthday party to go to for a friend and stuff like that. And so he calls his therapist and is like, I just need to chat this through with you. And she encourages him to just give himself the weekend. She's like, you know your best friends. You have known them. And they haven't left you yet. And you know that they've loved you for years. So I want you to use this weekend to allow yourself just to be in it completely. Immerse yourself in them, in the love y'all share, and don't question anything. Just let them show you who they are. And boy, that's when he goes and dyes his hair. Mm-hmm. So that they're little triplets. It's really cute. And then they go to dinner and all of their friends are like, hey, you're together. It's about time. Yeah.
It was super cute.
Yeah.
And when they get home.
Oh, boy.
Luca gets
it's time. It's time for the three of them to adventure together again. But like, mm-hmm. really, though.
And we're going to start that off with Kian and Jordan going down on mm-hmm. him together.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. At the door. Against the front door.
And then Luca tells them to make each other get off.
Yes.
And so right there mm-hmm. in front of him, while he's holding them around their waist, they do some manual stimulation and have a
to completion
big old rock in time.
That's the one. And then Luca grabs both of their hands and leads them to their bed. Nope. I need to hold all of my horses.
More importantly.
Yeah.
He licks their hands.
Oh, I forgot about Luca's thing.
Luca loves to clean.
Luca loves
a release
so much.
I love off it. Of a body, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like it.
I do. Anyway.
So now Luca takes them by the hands and leads them into their own bedroom. And then mm-hmm. he decides that they're going to do some double penetration.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in front. Kian's going to be in back.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, do they succeed at mm-hmm. that endeavor.
She comes so hard that she shoves both of them out of her.
Yeah.
And they have to like re-enter her. And then it's not long before they're both blowing. It's like it was a really good double penetration scene.
It was, yes. Mm-hmm. It was a great double penetration scene.
And then, wait, there's more. Because Kian tells them it's both time to take a shower. And Luca's response is, okay, daddy. And he says it kind of jokingly, but then it's like, not a joke.
But then nobody thinks like, it's a joke.
We're going to revisit that. We'll come back to that after we're nice and clean. And then they all shower together and it's sweet and lovely. And then they go back to bed and lay down. And Luca confesses that he's afraid of being hurt because everyone he's ever loved has left him. And mm-hmm. they're just sweet babies and reassure him that even if they do hurt him, mm-hmm. they'll talk about it.
Right.
Or if he hurts them, they'll talk about it because they're adults and they're in love.
Yeah. And I don't remember if it's now or another time. I'm pretty sure it's now. Luca is like, so when you say open relationship, I guess I'm fine with you opening it more, but like I only want you to. And they're like, yeah, no, the relationship's only open to you. It's the three of us, period, the end. You're the one we want, and like, that's it.
And that, like, so they still do stuff with other sex workers.
Right.
But the actual relationship that like is just them.
Right. And it's right. Really everything beautiful. Else is work.
And I love that
that's like not even questioned at all. It's not a plot point. It's not in anything.
Oh, yeah.
They're just, that's work.
Yeah.
Ugh, love it. Okay.
And then they're together.
They're together forever. And then epilogue times. It's a year later.
Uh-huh.
It's their 1 year anniversary. Luca has gotten them, the three of them, salsa dancing lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do that. And then this was a reach for me. I had a hard time
with that.
With this gesture.
You're right. I totally forgot. This is the one thing that I did have to suspend disbelief for.
And I think we might differ as to why.
It's a me thing.
Okay.
Right? Like, I think that other people would really enjoy a surprise wedding.
It's not, though.
It's like, basically, though. So symbolically, symbolically, this is the wedding that they will never have because they don't want to get married.
No, but
they wanted to give him the opportunity to watch somebody walk down the aisle to him.
Yes. And I might have a hot take on this.
Okay.
The reason that I have a hard time with it and I'm mildly uncomfortable with it is that everybody's dressed up. They've gathered all of their best friends. It's mm-hmm. in their back garden. It's this whole thing. There's decorations. There's all the business. And then literally all that happens is that Kian walks Luca out blindfolded, undoes the blindfold, and then Jordan takes about 15 steps toward him, and it's done now. We're done now. What are we doing here? If I was one of their friends, I would be like, we sit up for 3 hours, and this has been 45 seconds of what are we doing?
This would be the end of my relationship. Is what it would be. It'd be 45 seconds leading up to the end of a beautiful relationship.
Oh, no. You want to know what's funny? Michael and I walked up together.
Oh!
Yeah. I didn't want
to
do...
cute!
I think so, too. Because we'd been together for 3 years. We had lived together for all 3 of those years, essentially. We were long distance for 6 months, and then after that, we immediately moved in together and had been together since then.
You U-hauled?
I U-hauled hard. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, my dad died when I was 19, and I vividly remember having a conversation in the back room of our restaurant at Pohakula Army Base, and he was, like, laying down with me so that I would go to sleep, like, you know, so for, like, the late night rush or whatever of all the soldiers. And I was asking him about wedding traditions, and he told me about, you know, the walking down. And I said, Dad, I don't think I would want you to do that. Cause, like, why am I yours to give away? That doesn't make sense to me. And he was like, you know, I hadn't thought about it like that, but yeah, okay, that makes sense. And so I had never wanted that. And then because my dad died, my uncle offered to walk me down the aisle. And I was just like, I really appreciate it. And I love you. And I'm so glad that you're here. And you're definitely like the patriarch of this event, you know, at least for my side. But no, like nobody's giving me to Michael. We're not, you know, meeting for the first time. We're starting the next phase of our life. And I feel like we're doing it together. And so we should just walk in together. And so we walked down the aisle together. And I really, really loved it.
That's super cute.
Yeah, I loved it. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, that's it, friends.
This is the end. And it's the best. It's the best.
There's no third
forever.
Act breakup.
I love
that.
Yeah.
It's just...
especially for a book that is so internally driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there isn't a lot that like capital H happens in this book.
Yes.
It's all just following the relationship. And so I love the fact that even though, like, you still get an emotional arc for all 3 of them.
Oh, yeah.
But I love that it doesn't include a third act breakup.
Me too. I was a little concerned that there would be one with the way that Luca would, like.
Totally.
Was
Roadrunner?
Yeah. Roadrunnering.
Yeah.
And so the fact that there was not one, I was very, very pleased by that.
Same. Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, Sabrina, what is your lady love?
My lady love is The Path of Totality for the Solar Eclipse.
Ooh.
My friend flew out here. It is our 10-year friendiversary this month. And my friend flew out here for a week. And I took a couple of days off. And I live like an hour outside of Totality. And so Monday, we just drove up there. And we found a hibachi food truck and bought food. And just laid on the grass outside, like by the hibachi food truck, and just stared at the sky all day.
Oh.
And my favorite thing when I'm feeling, like, just to be completely, you know, blunt and honest, my mental health hasn't been the greatest lately.
Right.
And something that really helps when I'm feeling that way is being reminded how small I am in the universe.
Yeah.
And so watching this incredible astronomical event. Mm-hmm. Was just such a good reminder of how small I am, You know, like, I am just a speck on a speck in a solar system of specks. And it was just really, it was exactly what I needed right now. And it was freaking cool as hell.
And it was so cool.
It was so cool.
I couldn't believe we're not on the path of totality and we didn't travel anywhere, but I couldn't believe how close we came to it. Like, there was definitely a moment where I felt like I could not see the sun, but there was just like this tiny, tiny, tiny sliver, and it was incredible.
The point where I could take off the glasses and just look directly at the sun was like, holy, holy moly.
That is so cool.
It was the craziest part is like it got cold. It felt like it was like dusk. Like in the middle of the day, it was just suddenly it was almost nighttime. It was it was just really fantastic. So yeah, that's my lady love. What's yours?
What is mine, I wonder? You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to do it again. I decided it's my birthday. As of this episode, it will have been my 37th birthday last week when this comes out. And for my birthday, I got 5 yards of mulch delivered to my house.
I love you.
That's what I just said and I wanted.
You lady loved it so hard. You did it twice.
I did. Yeah. And so, and I got it delivered on a day that my father-in-law is going to come out and hang out with the kids and Michael is at work. And so I'm just going to move all of this mulch by myself. And I did it on purpose because I just want to move all of the mulch by myself. And I want to mulch everything. And I want to feel incredibly accomplished. And you know what? My other lady love is for the first time in years that I can think of, I feel like I have actual neighbors. Like, I don't think I've ever had neighbors like I do right now. I've always been friendly with my neighbors, but we've got this row of 3 houses with small kids, and we end up spending so much time together, and it is fucking lovely. And so one of the byproducts of that is that everybody knows that they are to give me their cardboard. Cardboard does not go out to the recycling company. Everybody gives me their cardboard, and some of my neighbors just got like a bunch of outdoor furniture. So I've got like a refrigerator box size box of cardboard filled with more cardboard.
What?
And it is incredible. So like get to know your neighbors too. What? Get yourself mulch.
Why do you want so much cardboard?
Oh, 2 reasons. One is because when you compost, usually for people, the hardest thing to come up with is the browns, is the carbon. And cardboard, so like there's the green, the nitrogen, and that's like all your food scraps, your grass clippings, anything that is like hot. It has nutrients that will break down now. And then you need more carbon, or what people call like the brown stuff. So leaves, cardboard, paper, like there's a bunch of pine needles, anything like that. Wood chips you can use, although they take more time to break down. So usually any of the cardboard that we get in our house, I just shred in my paper shredder and then it goes out into the compost. But if I'm establishing new garden beds, I use cardboard on the bottom as like a weed barrier slash like grass and weed killer, and then put like mulch on top of it, or like soil and stuff on top of it to start. It's like it's called a no-till gardening. It's really boring, but I need a lot of cardboard.
I mean, I don't think it's boring. I'm fascinated.
Your question.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to establish some new garden beds. And then in the fall, I'm going to plant a bunch of cover crops in it in order to break up my very heavy clay soil and to add organic matter so that in the spring, I can plant into it and the plants will be happy.
Huh.
Yeah.
I just learned a lot.
Yeah. It's super
fun to process that.
But I got so much cardboard today. And Michael was like, my neighbor knocked on my door. And I was like, oh, what's going on? Because like we'd already had like a bunch of commotions. And Michael looks out and he's like, a delivery of some kind? I don't know. And I looked out and I was like, oh, no, that's for me. So, yeah, very excited.
I love how much you love gardening.
I really do.
I mean, I
listener,
you...
to be clear, I got the cutest video from Melody earlier today about like loving her little plant seedlings because one of them flowered and she was very excited about it.
One of my viola seedlings flowered, and it's the cutest thing in the whole wide world because they're like, you know, I expected them to stay seedlings, but no, this one's like, I'm an early bloomer.
I am a whole flower.
Yeah, I started puberty at 9, is what this flower said.
That's exactly what it said.
Yeah.
So, on that note, keep being a badass.
And love yourself as much as you love Sabrina friggin' Bradley getting embarrassed about
my God,
a dirty talk
dare
passage. I never thought I'd see the day.
I don't know why. Like, I don't know. Is that the dirtiest thing that I've read out loud on pod?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know why it made me so flustered today.
I
think that this book specifically had me really flustered. And so, anything I could read out of there.
Ooh!
I can't believe you just first and last named me about that. All right. Love yourself as much as you love a plant that goes through puberty at 9. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
You fucking dick.
Heaving Bosoms is produced by us, Melody Carlisle and Sabrina Bradley. Editing is done by Melody Carlisle.
Our theme music is by the incredible singer-songwriter Brittany Fonts, and our art is by ultra-talented author Kate Pryor. If you like our show, remember to follow us on your favorite podcast app, rate us 5 stars, leave a nice review, and of course, tell all your friends about us, even if they don't read romance.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com. If you want more of us, visit patreon.com/heavingbosomspodcast. You can also find us on Instagram @heavingbosoms, on TikTok @heaving_bosoms, and in our Facebook group, the Heaving Bosoms Geriatric Friendship Cult.
Head over to our website to sign up for our newsletter, get our Reading Embrace printable, and check out my audiobooks at heavingbosoms.com. All right, we'll be back next week with more Swoons and Snark. See you then.